Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
And we are back. We appreciate you being here, and we'll get to your calls in just a moment at 855-242-7285. We mentioned our country music guest in an hour, and we'll talk more about that. We're going to show you this. The name of the song is Tennessee Orange. For those of you who have not heard it, and you will hear it later on, there's a little taste of the lyrics here by Megan Maroney. You can see that on the screen. For those of you listening on the radio, I'll do my best to just read the lyrics. Took me to Knoxville last Saturday, and I wore the hat on the dash to the game. It sure was in Athens, but I fell for him under those kneeling lights. In Georgia, they'd call it a sin. I'm wearing Tennessee orange for him. So I think you get the key to the song. She went to Georgia, and she did. And her parents are red and black. And she met some guy who treated her well, and she now wearing Tennessee orange for him. It's a cute song. I'm humming it all day, and I may even sing background for her when we get her on. Let's get to the calls. And Davis is in Wisconsin. Hello, Davis.
Yes, sir. G/D Father, live from the Peanut Gallery, Mississippi State, fourth quarter in Baton Rouge, was like quicksand, and Napoleon McCallum was a shipmate of mine. But
really?
I just want to know what the keys are for a bully to beat the Aggies. And I want you to have a great time in the Grove, and you be blessed. And thank you for your wisdom and discernment, sir.
Yeah, thanks, David. I think we were talking to McElroy. He talked a lot about the defense of Mississippi State. Obviously, Will Rogers, and there's some concern about A&M, especially without Anaya Smith. They, as Billy Lucci told us yesterday, they have plenty of depth there, but he said that they don't have the leadership, and that could be a big deal on the road in a critical game for A&M. Let's check in with Harold up next. Hello, Harold.
How's it going, Paul?
Harold, how are you?
Fine. Let's talk about Nick Saban during his career, some of the things he's done besides coaching. How important was this, thinking back to some of Howell Rain's references, how important was it that he led a Black Lives Matter march from Coleman Coliseum to Foster Auditorium with the players? I mean, how many coaches would do that, and not how many politicians could do that in Alabama and not be hurt badly?
Well, I think the key to answering that question is to look at the coach who did not handle that situation very well, and that was Ed Orgeron. He was insensitive to his players' needs at that moment in time. He went on television, as you remember, and ticked a lot of them off. While Saban always has steered clear of politics, but Saban did not look at this as politics. He and others did the same thing, Kirby Smart and a few others. But he also understood his team. He listened to them. He heard from the leadership council, and he reacted. And because he has so much credibility, he was able to. I mean, he listened. He took a lot of flack on this show. There were more
of
than,
course.
But he didn't care because he knew he was making the right decision for his team, and it turned out to help them to a national championship.
Right, and he like I said, if a whole bunch of people had canceled their season tickets because of that, it wouldn't have bothered him. That's what he believed. That's how he helped his team. And that's why he's so much more than a coach. And that's got to be, to me, one of the finest hours in Alabama history for him
well,
to
well,
do that.
Well, Harold, it's interesting you mentioned that because I don't think, I have not heard many other people mention that. You get the cliche answers. And I don't mean this the wrong way. He gets a lot of credit, you know, for the tornado. There was a lot there, but I think in terms of his team, what he did with BOM was probably more important.
Oh, absolutely. One thing I do miss about the old show, I miss it. You would say things that just were so incredible. I remember one time there was some talk about Mississippi and Ole Miss or mistake, and you made this statement: "Is Mississippi still burning?" In reference to the Gene Hackman movie,
right.
Well, you know, the Gene Hackman working for the SEC Network. That wouldn't be a good idea now, would it?
Well, Harold, I am playing by different rules. I think that would be a fair statement. I am often reminded of some of the articles that I've written, which was really for those who wonder how this all started, and it doesn't really matter now. I was a newspaper writer and became a talk show host, and ultimately. I mean, some of the stuff that I wrote, as you know, because we've been talking for almost the entirety of my career in Alabama. Crawl under a rock if you called up and asked me about some of those articles these days, Harold, because I really wouldn't want anybody to know that I wrote them.
Yeah, because I mean, it was so witty in the middle of a conversation to have someone with the intelligence that you had.
The truth of the matter, Harold, is I'm just not nearly as bright as I used to be.
I tend to doubt that. But I mean, after all, your first second foray into radio was with you and the legendary John Forney.
Right.
And what was the name of that show? Sports and Stuff.
Sports and Stuff. I do very much miss all those days because, we would veer off. I just got hit up by a friend of mine saying, can you get back to football? Yeah, we talk enough about football. But that show was not, we were not on a sports station. For Jim, who believes this show went downhill the day we got to ESPN, those who agree with him actually point to the moment that I left the news talk station to go to a sports station as the biggest change in the show's history.
But the thing about sports is you and John would get all kinds of calls from people that I remember. A guy who had just had intimate relations the night before. I mean, it was.
We get calls now, Harold, from people that are in the middle of intimate relations, I think.
Okay. But like I said, I know this is a promotion from you, but I do remember something you've said before, that if it were up to your better half, you'd move back to Alabama tonight. You remember?
I do remember saying that. and part of that was because she's from Alabama.
Right.
I was telling somebody today who I just met for the first time on the phone that I wasn't really, even though this was a great job, it was dependent on whether my wife agreed to go. And if she said no, then I was going to keep having that great show where I was. But she surprised me. In fact, shocked me.
She told you to go for it.
And there were some specific reasons why she agreed. She heard some things she liked. And I'm glad we did. That was almost nine years ago. It was more than 9 years ago. It's almost 10 years. And, you know, the most important thing when you make a life-changing decision like that, Harold, as you know, is you hope it doesn't end quickly. But fortunately, we passed that point.
Okay. Have a good day, Paul.
Thank you very much. We'll take a short break as we continue to pay tribute to my life. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Man, we love to praise teams, and we do a little bit of that here at the network. I'm curious. You know, there's some teams that are in the top 10. There's some teams that are rolling along. Some aren't. But who has done extremely well so far that you're saying, hold on, let's take a reality check?
I would say Tennessee is a team, right?
Tennessee.
Look, great win. It was an important win.
Of course it was.
Was it a great win? I don't know that it was a great win. You know, outside of Knoxville and outside of recent history, we're going to grant recent history in that series. I think 2016, right? Last mm-hmm. time that the Vols got a victory over the Gators. How good are the Gators this year, right? I mean, and of course, you could slap that qualifier on any team. I get that. But based on what we've seen, how good are the Gators? And therefore, how good is Tennessee? Now, Tennessee made that game interesting in the back end of it. But otherwise, they were the better team on the field.
Well, what concerns you about Tennessee?
Well, you know, the fact that the Florida passing game looked like it was actually a potent attack, that should give you pause. You know, given the difficulties that they had, and look, teams are getting better, and Anthony Richardson certainly has a runway for improvement. But that should give you pause, the fact that now all of a sudden you never want a team's offensive element, whatever it is. Oh, we don't run the football well? You don't want them to run the football well versus you. You don't want them to discover their, you know, their sea legs, so to speak, in an element of their offense versus you and your team. That's not to say that Tennessee isn't maybe the second best team in the SEC East. Are they the third best team in the entire conference? They might be. And I'm still going to remain in my Mark Stoops camp at Kentucky, where Kentucky is that spot until proven otherwise. They're not a sexy team. They win ugly. Outside of Will Levis, you know, most folks in this conference probably can't name two more of their players, maybe not even one other than Chris Rodriguez, who's just now returning to the lineup. You know, Tennessee is a really good football team, we think. It was an important win on Saturday. I don't know that it was a great win. And so because of that, there's a lot of momentum. You know, we saw that for Florida right after their victory over Utah. That momentum is now gone. Texas A&M, you know, are they kind of regaining some momentum after a gift of a win versus Arkansas? That would be the other team where I'm going, I don't know.
I mean, they're so intriguing.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I heard it from smart guys like you, not you, but
yeah, other guys, other the guys quarterbacks
who are saying epic win over Miami. And I mean, come on, had they lost that game, we would have been having a much different conversation. And they didn't win. They won the game. It doesn't matter how they won it, just right. Like the Auburn Missouri game. But it doesn't mean you can't be a little concerned.
You should be. Yeah. Yeah. Look, it counts the same in the record books. I get that. So don't detract. You know, you never complain about a victory, right? Okay, that's fine for a fan base. Maybe you shouldn't complain about a victory. But from a coaching standpoint, from a ball standpoint, you're looking at it and you're going, no, there's quite a few holes in the dike still. And even now, so as this season has unfolded, part of it, I think, is a function of we insist on the preseason polls. We've decided this is the number six team in the country. They lost to App State, and we get that. But maybe they need to make a change at whatever it is. So credit them for making changes. Is it because of the change they made at quarterback? Perhaps. Now you're without Anaya Smith, which that's not an insignificant hole now in your offense, certainly in your passing attack.
What does his departure mean?
Well, you lose a ton of playmaking ability out there, right? One, it's not just his playmaking ability, but also the experience, maturity he has in the system and the familiarity, the comfort that guy has. And we see this all over the place, right? You see this in the Alabama passing game. You could see it in the Georgia passing game a season ago, where until that chemistry is established and that trust is there, then it's really, really hard that in the clutch, things are breaking down. It's third and six plus. Pre-snap, if I got a look on this guy, I know where I want to go. Can you say that now? And who would that be? Would it be your freshman wide receiver or one of your running backs? Because when you look at their receiving chart, it would imply that's who it would be. I don't feel that comfortable about that. I don't think anybody would. I feel certain that the folks in College Station don't either. So because of that, it's more than just, hey, man, this guy could get open. Wow, you can see him run after the catch. It's also, when I know we have to get a completion, I know exactly where I want to go. I might not be able to. The defense is smart, too. But if I can, I will. Now it's, man, I just hope somebody breaks open early. Maybe I understand whoever my primary is, that the guy shows up for that snap. This is true for all teams, but I think definitely true now for Texas A&M, especially because you're talking about the third start now with a guy who's new to your program in Max Johnson, and now someone's going to have to emerge in the receiving battery.
Let me go to Auburn this weekend if we have to. you've got LSU coming in, somewhat of a mystery team.
Yeah.
They could come out of here with a win, and they have Tennessee next week, and suddenly they're feeling great about themselves. But Auburn, how do you describe that team, and what is their ceiling here other than bumping their head?
It feels like a crawl space. I mean, if we're putting it in those terms. You know, you never know. It could be an ascendant team. You're hard pressed to point to something that says, okay, because of this cornerstone of our team, we're now going to be able to build towards dot, dot, dot. I mean, when we talk about just overall competency and you look at teams that say, this is our identity, and identity becomes this kind of vague term, but basically it's, hey, what are we good at? And is it worth being good at this? Because whatever it is, you know, if you're great on, you know, punt cover, that only takes you so far. You better have something that's pretty significant in regular downs. I don't know what you point to right now. And they don't have components in place currently anyway where you say, okay, but because we've made this improvement, we know eventually that, you know, a couple weeks from now, you know, we're a few weeks away from competency. You're hard-pressed to do that. Part of it's, you know, you've got a new face at quarterback, T.J. Finley not available a week ago. You got to win. That's important.
They also are now down to their third-string center. You understand a little bit more about that than we do.
And that's evident, right? That's evident. It's a really important position. It's important if you're tempo. It's important for a variety of reasons. You got to know what you're doing. He's a quarterback of the offensive front. All those things. They weren't great going into the season. They weren't going to be great necessarily. They could have improved, but they weren't going to be great in week one or week two. And now you start injecting new faces, and especially at center, right, where you don't have to be – you're not a left tackle. No, but you're also the pivot of the entire offensive front. To be at number three now, far from ideal, and there's a reason why three was at three. So it's not going to help, especially with the meat eaters that are in this conference. There are other conferences where you can survive inside out, where maybe there's some guys that can't really hold up. You better be able to hold up, especially guard to guard. And, you know, that's not to ignore tackles, right? There's great outside rushers. But this conference is capable of, there's so many good outside rushers that on a third and obvious, now your outside rushers, you move those guys inside and you bring in fresh outside rushers. And now your outside guys are over your guards and centers. Good luck. It's an athletic mismatch. And now you're talking about newer faces and different protections that have to be changed on the fly. It's just none of it's ideal. There's your understatement of the year. It's just not ideal on the Plains right now, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Final question, the game at Arkansas this week. You know, there's no way of knowing how the Razorbacks recover from that game. You can pick your poison. We know where Alabama is right now. They're seemingly playing a lot better. They're not playing a lot of great teams. How do you frame this game?
Yeah, you know, Arkansas has been more tested, right? And I think partly because Arkansas insists on trying to make things interesting for themselves. I mean, it's just they will go out of their way to take a game that maybe they could have controlled and they won't. We saw one Saturday night, right? Where you're just sitting there, you're going, that was a unlikely sequence of events. And even at the outset, right, where you're going, KJ Jefferson, who's played really well this season, made good decisions, and you're going, you're on like the 5-yard line, and what are we doing? What's the thought process there? And, you know, sometimes guys go into vapor lock, whatever it is. It was a pivot point in the game, and it changed the game. I don't know that it's an inflection point for the balance of the season, but boy, does it take some of the momentum, some of the powder out of this game, because you think you got an undefeated Arkansas on the heels of a win over A&M, right? And now it's Alabama on the road. Not just Alabama, but Alabama on the road, which we've learned, and that might change. Maybe they slay that dragon this week, is that Alabama on the road, going back to last season even, including this season, is a different team than Alabama at home. I don't know if after what just transpired, once again, for Arkansas, where they seem to find a way to lose a game that they maybe otherwise should. That's not a habit, not nearly the habit that it used to be. Somewhat anomalous now under Sam Pittman, but it is going to be a challenge for them to bounce back. They are underhanded on defense, undermanned, and it looks like Alabama's going to get some new faces at receiver. JoJo Earl's supposed to be available. They've been waiting on some guys to come back. You know, does that change? Do we now see the passing game more unleashed? Perhaps. So what used to be what I would have thought was going to be the game, this is the game to point to. In preseason, I was like, you know, I think Arkansas might be the team that gets Bama this year. If we're going to pick upsets, maybe it's Arkansas. You know, now after last week, you think, maybe it's Tennessee a couple of weeks from now. So it does kind of take the sting out of that matchup, I think, coming into it for sure.
Always great to talk to you.
Man, it was fun.
One of my favorite moments of the week, to talk to a smart analyst, not just a pretty analyst.
Wow. Man, we're just shoveling out compliments.
All these Romans and Dorings and Jordans and Tebows. I mean, I just like a smart guy in here.
Yeah, I don't even use hair products.
A guy that actually played football on the offensive line versus all these other
pretty guys. Are we taping this segment?
These pretty guys.
I'm going to email it to those guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Paul.
We'll take a short break. We are coming back with a lot more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back, and Augie, the paralegal in New Orleans. Good afternoon.
So, Paul, what was this I heard that you're leaving me behind?
Yeah, you didn't make the cut in the new show. It's just Jim, myself, and I'm not sure who the other person was. But you didn't make it, Augie. I'm sorry.
What about Mitch? if I didn't make it, did Mitch make it?
No, nobody made it. It's over. We're leaving everybody behind. All the current it's just going to be Jim and I.
And one other question. Do we need to call the Archbishop or Interpol to check, do a safety or welfare check on John from Louisville? Are we kind of worried about him, or are we okay that he may not ever show up again?
Well, John was going to Europe, if I remember. Maybe Italy. I can't remember. He said he was going to
Italy with a bunch of teenage girls girls his daughter's age or something.
That's always dangerous. Italy. I mean, especially with the current political climate in Rome.
As long as Bill Clinton is with him, I guess he'll be okay. But, hey, as an analyst, Stinchcomb is one of your best analysts. You can put Harper, you can put Jordan Rogers, you can put Tim Tebow. I do like Howdy Doody, though. I think McElroy's not bad. I know people hate him, and it's funny. Alabama people don't like him. And I'm an LSU guy. He's okay with me. Why do you think people from Bama dislike McElroy? He's one of.
I think maybe because he speaks his mind.
Okay. Well,
you're not supposed to do that as an analyst. You're supposed to kowtow to all the fan bases like I do.
Well, okay. I think Doering's pretty good. I like Doering, and you know how I used to really like Mark May, and I don't see him around anymore. He must have evaporated.
He left the premises.
Did he leave, or was his card taken from him?
Well, you never leave. They just don't ask you to come back.
Okay. All right. I was wondering about that. And as far as Marty and McGee, those guys don't even make good commercials. Their commercials are terrible. So I can't believe you're taking them. What about the two fat bearded guys, Talking Out Loud or whatever that show is? You taking them?
No, they're not making it. They're not around.
Okay, they don't need to make the cut. And Paul, I think I have a problem with my TV, and I was asking Brams if I could get the tape because I missed the segment between I-Man and Jim. My sound went out. I was wondering if I could get a copy of that.
It was very short. Right as it began, the guy from Montgomery used a word that is not permissible on this show.
It's one of the George Carlin seven words.
Well,
the FCC
it's not a George Carlin word. Well, I don't think it is. But the decision over my head was made to eliminate. So it wasn't Jim who caused the end of that conversation. It was I-Man.
Ooh, so I-Man's in the bad house today.
I-Man has been suspended.
Poor I-Man. Oh, well. I got a question for you, Paul. Seems that your LSU analyst guy, of course you go to Bernie Miller a lot, that's his beat, but hometown people, is Rabelais your go-to guy for inside LSU news? And if so, what happened to Gilbo?
It's a good question. Gilbo left his former job, as you know, and went someplace that is on the no-fly zone list.
Okay. I did not. I don't keep up with him. But let me ask. Okay, so the local yokel smart guys, or everybody's got a podcast these days, T-Bob Hebert. What do you think about T-Bob and his analytical abilities and his radio personality?
I think he's got a big career going.
Yeah, you're a fan?
Yes.
Okay, just wondering.
I've known Gilbo forever, and I hated it. I ran into him recently, and I said, listen, it's not personal. It's above our head. So he understands, but I understand he had to leave he got a good opportunity.
Well, apparently he was not on the BK bandwagon. He was more a Napier guy, and he was chirping after the Florida State game, and I think a lot of LSU fans who were starting to believe in BK are turning off on old Gilbo, but I thought he used to be
Well, you
okay.
know me, Augie. I'm a big Scott Woodward fan, so I'm all in on BK.
I am too. Hey, Paul, great, and enjoy Oxford. Oh, just by the way, I went to a Cracker Barrel today. First time in about, I don't know, 14 months. Cracker Barrel is America. You need to visit it.
I have not been to a Cracker Barrel in years. I will see if I can find one in Mississippi.
Your crowd hangs out there, Paul.
Oh, really?
Crowd hangs out there. Yes, they're all at least, you got to be at least 60 or above to eat a Cracker Barrel.
Well, that is my demo right now.
That is it. That in old folks' homes, you can
75
have
to 94 is my key demo at the moment.
Septuagenarians and octogenarians. Take care, Paul.
Hey, thank you. Steve is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Ask this. I haven't heard it on none of the shows, or if I have, I missed it. But or if it was on, I missed it. But how come Tennessee played conservative, and that once they got the ball back after they got up 12 points?
I'm not certain of that, Steve, because that is not really Josh Heupel's MO. And sometimes coaches feel like let's take a quick look at what the only chance of us losing is, and that's probably turning the ball over. So you tend to do that. I've never liked it. The great coaches, Steve Spurrier being one, they never let up. They just kept pouring the gas on, and I think that's always the best way to do it, especially when you have the momentum and the better team, which they certainly did the other day. Thank you for the call. Hugh is up next in Georgia. Hello, Hugh.
Paul.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
In the preseason, you were talking about Alabama's offensive line and all of that. And I just can't see why the University of Georgia doesn't have the best offensive line in the SEC when you include those four tight ends. I mean, they're dynamite with those four tight ends included in there. But the main thing is, it looks to me like the SEC East has gotten a little bit stronger than we anticipated it being when the season started, just like you comment on that.
Well, I think some of that is because Tennessee has really looked good. Kentucky, I think, was expected to be this good. I mean, there's also some question marks in the SEC East. Florida right now is a team I think that is getting better, but is still in transition. South Carolina I thought would be better than they are, but again, they haven't lost a game they probably shouldn't have lost. So I think that oftentimes makes it difficult to analyze.
Another comment I had. I was disappointed in the argument earlier in the show.
You were disappointed in what?
For me, that takes away from a lot of the impact of the show.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I didn't quite hear all that, but I trust it was an interesting criticism and critique. Ron is in Kentucky. Hey, Ron.
Hello, Paul. Listen, I'm deciding that my old memory is not nearly as good as it used to be. But when I was in the eighth grade, 1962, our teacher made us learn all eight teams in the SEC. And now I can't remember, and we had a test on it too, and now I can't remember which teams were in the SEC in 1962. So I thought I'd ask and get your expertise on what teams those were. I assume that Tennessee was one of them because my eighth grade teacher was a big Tennessee fan. Can you help me out?
Listen, I'm not sure my memory of that year is very good, but in 62, Tennessee was definitely a member, Alabama, Auburn. I think the question is, was Georgia Tech and Tulane still around? That's the one thing I don't remember, what year they got out, but I can look it up.
Right. Well, I'd appreciate that if you would. I'll listen to your show. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yeah, I think the SEC may have had more schools than eight. Tulane and Georgia Tech were both in then. So was Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. So we're getting above eight, aren't we? Yeah, I think what your memory is not as good as it once was, because there were more than eight schools in the SEC. Yeah, there were 12 schools in the SEC in 1962, and then Tulane and Georgia Tech left. And now they were, and then they were down to 10. It remained 10 until 1992 when Arkansas and South Carolina joined. And then, of course, it went to 14 10 years ago when Missouri and Texas A&M joined. So hope we can educate you back to your youth in the 60s. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here. Heather is up next in Virginia. Hello, Heather.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Okay, I'm a first-time caller. I had two questions, actually. I am a diehard Tennessee fan. I bleed orange. My husband, unfortunately, yes, I said husband, is a Bama fan.
Oh, my.
I know, I feel like a sponsor sometimes. But anyway, my first question is, do you think it's in the right realm to say that Hendon Hooker should be nominated for the Heisman or will be, or is that just no?
No, he's charts, today, no. I think Hendon Hooker is very legitimate in the running. I would think he's in the top three or four right now. But, you know, that's something that changes week by week. But what you have to be is a contender, and he is a legitimate contender.
I agree. I think as a Tennessee fan, you know that we don't get excited about anything. I'm excited about Josh Heupel and this program, but as a Tennessee fan, you don't get too excited. So
what's a since I know the answer to this, since I have a reverse situation than you do, what's it like being married to a Bama fan?
It's been really hard the past, 12 years. It's been really, really hard. But this was my other question, speaking of that, because my husband would never call in. Now, I like Saban. I think he's a great coach. I really do. But I do not believe he has been the same. It's been the same program since Tua. Since Tua got hurt, and I guess Nick thought it was his fault. And I tell my husband this. Tua was his pet. And I don't care what anybody says. He just looks different, acts different, sounds different, and he is just, yeah, that's just what I think.
Well, they've won a championship since then, but in some ways, though, you're right. The program has been up and a little wobbly. One year they didn't make the playoff, which is a big deal. It was that year, and then they lost last year. So I don't think we know the verdict on Saban yet, and I think it will come into focus really at the end of this season. If he wins, then there's no debate. If he doesn't win, then, you know, some will start asking a few questions.
Well, of course, they're always going to, but I really do believe that. I think that Nick Saban got really soft after Tua got hurt and hurt his hip or whatever in the game against Missouri. That was it, because honestly, he let Tua call that shot. He should have pulled him out and made him sit out, but he didn't.
Yeah,
he
I mean, like, that I was a moment in time where I heard from a lot of coaches who questioned that, but fortunately for Tua, he was able to come back, and I don't think anybody really blamed Saban, considering Tua right now is one of the two or three best players in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's a little fragile, but I'll leave that alone. I think he's overrated.
Well, certainly, Heather, you can believe that.
Exactly. Opinions, you know, they're like, you know, other things.
Right.
But thank you, Paul. It was great talking to you and being on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And go Vols.
You got it. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Paul, there were 12 teams in the SEC in 1962, and Georgia Tech and Tulane were still there. So if the guy could only name 8 teams, I would say he failed the test. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I think he said second grade. He obviously did okay later in life, but that was a bad beginning in elementary education.
Hey, I got two questions for you. What is this a man crush that Jim and Jeff have on Tim Brando? What's that all about?
Trey, I'll try not to be flippant here, but I have no idea. I really don't.
Okay, well, then I'll go to my next question. Is JoJo Earl and Harold going to be back this weekend? And if they are, what kind of influence do you think they're going to make on that Alabama offense? And I'll hang up and listen, and you have a great day.
Trey, I believe they will be, and I think the impact could be significant. We will take a break. Our country music star will join us in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.